The following episode of Cave Voice was recorded at 1 a.m., May 30th, 2018. Things may have changed by the time you listen to this show. Enjoy the show.
Cave Voice of Resistance!
Thanks for tuning in, turning on, downloading, streaming, listening, ignoring, loving, or hate listening to Cave Voice of Resistance, your resistance podcast.
Resist!
I'm your host, Kelly. It is odd only podcasting once a week. Before the midterm campaign season, when I had more time, I had thought that only two shows a week was not nearly enough time to touch on the pummeling our nation was taking by the dark, no, orange swastika-wearing forces that have taken over. But for the time being, I'm down to one. That barely scratches the surface. But at least it's something. We all have to do what we can and where we can, because you know what? The forces that are shaking the very foundations of America are putting in overtime. And they're not just putting in time as a reaction to something that scared them. They are putting in the time because it is who they are, because it is their passion, because it is their mission.
We're going to restore the borders, traitor, enemy!
10 years ago. 10 years ago, the GOP got its ground game together to win state legislatures so that they could have control when the census was done.
We have seen Republicans rig the system with their gerrymandering, often illegal gerrymandering.
There is gerrymandering to a fare thee well in states controlled by the Republicans.
Listen, political gerrymandering is probably one of the greatest threats to our democracy right now.
Gerrymandering.
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 And then be in charge of gerrymandering, which then just about guaranteed them a win in elections across America for a decade. That takes planning. That takes dedication. Because of that act, 10 years ago, we saw the rise of the Tea Party. We saw extremists elected to the House, mainly, but also in the Senate, who had no reason to play to the middle, to play fair, to compromise, to be decent human beings. They only had to answer to the lowest elements of our society, who would elect and re-elect them with flying colors, as long as they were pissing off the libtards. 10 years ago, Republicans broke Congress. We just didn't know it yet. The right created a media empire. And not just with Fox News, though obviously that too. No, the right wing took over radio, the internet radio, and podcast, and YouTube, and they created a multifaceted empire, infecting the ears of generations before the left even began to flirt with the idea.
8,000 Starbucks are closed so that their employees can be re-educated.
The Boy Scouts of America is a pedophile induction center.
We're supposed to watch the back of the man that God put in the White House.
Here's a guy who probably studied homosexual studies or journalism or, bathroom studies, by the way, which I put on the same level.
They're worried about rights. What rights are they worried about? What can they not do? I guess it's their right not to clean. I find that many feminists are too good to clean their houses, and maybe that's the way they live. They live in filth. I just don't understand this.
And today, the right has invested in youth-oriented entertainment. Have we? And then there's the youth. When you were growing up, was there a Young Democrats Club? I hope so. Because there certainly was not one in my school, not in my mostly liberal town. And yes, polling data does show that young people have become more inclined in recent years to embrace socialism rather than capitalism. A 2017 YouGov survey found that 44% of American millennials would prefer to live in a socialist country, with just 42% saying they prefer capitalism. And the good news is back in 2016, there was a Gallup poll that showed the two economic systems nearly in a dead heat among young people. But this is not something we can count on. We don't know if this trend is going to continue, and not with groups like Turning Points USA, a group that has made a mission of, quote, making conservatism cool again, unquote. 24-year-old Charlie Kirk, the founder,
get a load of this asshole,
who has gotten very close to the Trump family and pushes their hateful, unethical, racist agenda, though Kirk claims to simply be a champion of the free market.
The left philosophy is quite simple. There is no such thing as absolute truth.
that government must take of everything. Whoever suffers the most must win. I call it the oppression Olympics. And that's what's happening on college campuses. It's how can we create you into the optimal level of victimhood?
You suck!
Says that fundraising has never been better. And more than 400 campus chapters across America. They have 20,000 different donors who gave a total of $9.8 million this year. That's double the amount raised in 2016. That is $9.8 million going to counter-programming aimed at turning young minds to the dark side. From its headquarters in Lamont, Illinois, it annually distributes more than 1 million pieces of literature that go into the quote-unquote activism kits mailed to campus chapters. Those kits might include leftism resistance manuals like, quote, how to debate your teacher and win, unquote. Or posters or bumper stickers that say, coexist, written in Guns and Bullets. Turning Point USA also holds several events throughout the year, drawing on a lineup of speakers who are popular with young conservatives like Tommy Lauren, Ben Shapiro, and Kirk himself. It also brings speakers to campuses who will happily inflame the audiences like Milo Yiannopoulos and former Trump aide and Nazi Sebastian Gorka. Amy Binder, sociology professor at the University of California in San Diego, who is a co-author of the 2014 book Becoming Right, How Campuses Shape Young Conservatives, says Turning Point USA and the groups who have come before it have found that attacking the academic powers that be is a strategy that sells. In a form of modern-day McCarthyism, Turning Point has gained notoriety for its list of 226 professors representing 156 different schools called the Professor Watch List. It is a naming and shaming database launched 2 weeks after Donald's election. And, you won't be surprised to hear that they found multiple cases of professors being listed for things they didn't exactly say or do, and others listed for petty criteria, like being rude to students or making quips about Trump. How dare they? And they say, we're the thought police. Now, they're a nonprofit, so they cannot advocate for a specific candidate. Although it was discovered that Turning Point did exactly that and got away with it clean. Of course they did. But what they can do is affect campus politics. The organization has raised more than $2 million to fund an ongoing plan aimed at getting conservative students elected to top leadership positions at universities across the country. Those include everything from executive positions with fraternities and sororities to student body president. One successful candidate Turning Point USA backed was a Max Goldfarb, who ran for a student panel at the University of Wisconsin that oversees disbursement of student fees. After Goldfarb won, he pushed for a committee hearing to defund the university's Muslim Students Association. The good news being that he was overruled. But you can see the possibilities here. Not to mention the candidate training these young conservatives are getting. They could transfer this to real wins in the future. Further good news is that many campuses, due to Turning Point, are considering a form of campaign finance reform, changing the assistant students can accept from third-party sources. Now look. There are questions as to the quantifiable success of Turning Point and other organizations, but what are we doing? Guns! There are far, far less gun rights activists than those of us who want common sense gun control. But who has been banging down the door of every congressperson for a generation? While we have been recycling, they have been creating disinformation campaigns, opening vocational high schools for the oil industry, and worse! While we were making anti-discrimination laws, they were changing textbooks so that children never learned the truth about slavery, Black history, and the Civil War. We were combating racism, but they successfully cultivated a generation of children who were raised racially ignorant. They said not to choose winners and losers, while making losers of small business winners of big, and we know how they have vaulted the rich on the back of the poor, of immigrants, of minorities, and none more so than on the backs of Black people. They defunded schools, healthcare, welfare, Medicare. They broke the system, handed down, trickle down, and they asked us to say thank you, while making college impossible to afford, and bit by bit broke up America's unions, depressing workers' rights, income, and dignity, and they did all of this in the name of the free market, in the name of capitalism. And while some on the right may believe that that is why they were really doing it, there were others. There were the drivers of this plan that saw the bigger picture. They knew that a hungry, sick, uneducated populace is easier to control. They are easier to persuade. You can take the money out of their pockets and put it in the rich man's, and they will thank you for the pleasure as long as you give them someone beneath them to blame. Beneath them, who you can tell them they are better than. The Confederate soldiers were not slave owners. There were not many slave owners in the United States, by and large. But men fought, killed, and died on America's soil to fight for someone else's right to own slaves. How about that? And they did so because they were powerless. They did so because they were scared and uneducated, and men of authority told them that they were not, in fact, the bottom of the heap. No, the black man and the black woman were. They were the cause of their struggles. They were the cause of their self-worth. And white people en masse bought it. They bought it, and they died for it. They died hungry and scared and self-righteous with nothing to leave their children. And that is the genius of conservative thought. They work on the worst parts of our human nature, exploiting the ugliness inside the populace to their own ends. And they're winning. They're winning. They have won the government. They have won the war on truth, on facts, on reality. They have literally, through a broad misinformation campaign and propaganda ministry, won control over reality. Calling someone a racist makes you a racist. Education makes you stupid, and guns keep us safe. Feeding the poor is not Christian. Working 40, 60, 80 hours a week makes you lazy and a freeloader, while feeding the poor, while being born into money, makes you hardworking and smart. That corporations are now people. That was decided in the highest court of the land. Corporations are people, but immigrants, minorities, and even women are not. And women are a threat. Always have been. So they sought to control women's bodies and called it religion. That trick's as old as humanity. And they're winning that battle too. As the Republicans sacrificed to the government, handed down by the founding fathers, that they hold up only to Jesus and God, and then they sacrificed them at the altar of their conservative agenda. They swept judges of their own making into the courts. Of their own making. Because they created a federalist society which would become a right-wing, white judge-making factory, spitting them out, ready to inflict them on our lives, our freedoms, and our future. Where is our federalist society? Where is our project? We don't have one. We on the left, for the most part, react. We don't act. Now, in most states, abortion will be in all but name illegal. They didn't even have to wait for another judge to retire or die. Though once that happens, I guarantee that it will be the end of Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court on Tuesday cleared way for a controversial Arkansas law that blocks medication-induced abortions that any physician who gives, sells, dispenses, administers, or otherwise provides or prescribes an abortion-inducing drug shall have to have a contract with a physician who has admitting privileges to a nearby hospital, forcing the majority of clinics to close, thereby effectively making abortion impossible to obtain for women in any state that passes this law, and trust me, many will follow. So in the name of God, the right has made both birth control and abortion unobtainable in the reddest, most impoverished states in America. And aside from the deaths that will arise from this due to unsafe abortions, abortions, which will be on the rise due to lack of birth control, due to lack of clinics, millions of babies over time will be born to parents who do not want them, to parents who are uneducated and too poor to provide their kids with an education, who will also grow up poor, who will grow up poor and ignorant and probably vote red. And if you think that it is beyond the pale to assume that this is not one of the driving motivations for the rich white right-wing controllers of America, then think again. This is the same people that once upon a time said that we needed slavery because it was handed down by God. And if the right is good at anything, it is good at the long game. Isaac Asimov said in A Roving Mind, quote, imagine the people who believe such things and who are not ashamed to ignore totally all the patent findings of thinking minds through all the centuries since the Bible was written. And it is these ignorant people, the most uneducated, the most unimaginative, the most unthinking among us, who would make themselves the guides and leaders of us all, who would force their feeble and childish beliefs on us, who would invade our schools and libraries and homes. I personally resent it bitterly. Unquote. But there is good news. And if we have been gifted anything in this new era, it is the gift of something to fight against. It is a reason to fight. So long as we get off our asses. And many, many people have been. And before Trump graced the upper echelons of politics, left-leaning organizations, or not even explicitly left-leaning, but ones that work towards left-leaning goals, left-leaning free-thinking, forward-thinking ideals, were on the scene. She Should Run, a nonprofit that works to get women into office, has been around since 2011. Every Town for Gun Safety has been around since 2006, but the Brady Campaign has been fighting for gun control ever since 1974. The ACLU has been around since the 20s, and while they will readily go to bat for the KKK as readily as Black Lives Matter, they will mostly help our cause. There's the Southern Poverty Law Center. There are the Young Democrat organizations, if hard to find. And we're slowly getting in the game insofar as media goes. The Young Turks, podcasts like this network, Crooked Media. And of course, we have a huge benefit in the fact that liberals are funny. So we have late night shows. There's a lot. But we need to know more. A lot more. One thing we can do. You and me. You, me, your neighbor, family, everyone. All of us can. Except for the kids. And you know what I'm gonna say, right? You know what I'm gonna say? Okay, I'll say it. Vote! We can all vote. This coming Tuesday for California, and more elections to come elsewhere, unless you already had one. But you will have a chance to stick it to Team Red. You will have a chance to stop the bleeding and do a few years worth of good simply by taking 1 hour out of your day. And vote. There are very few excuses here that are legit enough to stay home. And no. The Democrat has things I don't like about them, so I'm not voting. It's not an excuse. That is how we got Trump.
There is absolutely no collusion. That has been proven.
We need to suck it up and vote, even if that means voting in Manchin again. I don't like him either. I don't like Democrats like him, but we gotta do it because he's better than a Republican. So before the big day, first educate and then vote. Please educate yourself. Don't just read the blurb on the ballot. Actually research. You don't even have to do a lot, just a little. See who has endorsed which candidate, at least. There are rumors that Republicans are running as Democrats, so don't just vote D because it's shiny. Plus, you have to know what candidates are about, at least a little. For example, there are two Democrats running in the primary in my district, coming up for state senate. One's blurb reads, nurse and author, and the other says, businesswoman and housing advisor. One may sound more appealing to you offhand. Maybe not. Regardless, in my district, the candidate I work for is the businesswoman. And besides Planned Parenthood Action League, the Sierra Club, California Teachers Union, and the California Democratic Party, she has about 10,000 labor endorsements, and Barbara Baxter, and so much more. She used to connect women with healthcare and help elderly with housing. She has been on the front lines fighting for immigrants. I know, because I was there fighting with her for the past 2 years. And yes, I'm biased, but the point stands. Groups don't endorse lightly. They just don't. Listen to them, if nothing else. Also important, and don't send me hate mail for saying this, but vote for the Democrat that can win. If your heart is with one Democrat, but another has substantially better chance of winning, then suck it up and vote practical. We can vote our hearts after we get our country back to some kind of normal, if we get our country back. But that if is why we have to go out and vote with our brains, not our hearts. Right now, lives are being lost, ruined, and families are being destroyed, and we are on the verge of multiple wars! And you don't need me to say all this, I know, but at the very least, think of the Supreme Court. I say it like it doesn't matter, because they are already voting like they have a stacked deck. But it does matter, and we ain't seen nothing yet. If we get the right people in place, we can pull a Mitch McConnell and keep the hellmouth from opening up on Capitol Hill. We have that kind of power. And I have something else that we can do. Right now. Today, 700 children, including 100 children 4 years old and younger, have been separated from their parents at the southwest U.S. border. Families fleeing political and gang violence in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador now face the additional trauma of losing the children they were risking their lives to protect. See, the U.S. has historically treated immigration violations as civil rather than criminal offenses. And parents have not typically been separated from their children. But when the racist elf himself, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, announced a zero-tolerance policy to deter Central Americans from trying to cross the border into the U.S. illegally, the dramatically stepped-up enforcement strategy was aimed squarely at parents traveling with their children. I don't have to tell you, the separation from the family leaves children more vulnerable to exploitation and abuse no matter what the care setting. And traumatic separation creates toxic stress that children and adolescents that can profoundly impact their development and increase their risk to stress-related disease and psychological trauma well into their adulthood. Your voice matters. The White House has bent to pressure before, and we will see it again. Call the White House and demand the administration put an end to this inhumane policy at 202-456-1111. That's 202-456-1111. And then hang up and call your senators and congressmen, Democrat or Republican, and make sure that they are enacting legislation to stop this terrible policy at 202-224-3121. And also, this is important. Don't conflate or tweet or Facebook or anything about the 1,500 missing children, along with talking about the separating of family. It could seriously threaten the children you want to save. Josie Duffy Rice, an attorney who works in immigration, wrote, quote, "There are two things going on. One, HHS, Health and Human Services, doesn't know where 1,500 unaccompanied minors are. Two, we are separating parents and children at the border. These are different. The kids in one were not separated from their parents at the border. They crossed the border alone, arrived here without a parent. That's not really the point I want to make here, though it is important. These kids were dealt with by the ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement. They were released into the care of people that almost always fit within one of these three categories. One, immediate family, two, extended family, or three, people that the child has pre-existing relationship with. If none of those categories apply, then the kids normally stay in a shelter. After a number of children were trafficked in 2014, these restrictions got tighter, so these kids were released. And they're also no longer ORR's responsibility or problem. This is a good thing. One analogy I heard my dear friend, who I won't tag without her permission. ORR is basically a jailer. Do you want the jail keeping track of where the former inmate is?" Unquote. She then goes on to say, quote, "ORR's job is not to track and monitor these kids, and it shouldn't be. As my friend said, if there is an issue, abuse, or other wrongdoing, it should go through the appropriate agency, children's services, or what have you. It shouldn't go through HHS, OOR, or DHS, ICE." Unquote. Please spread the word. This misunderstanding is going to get kids hurt. Okay, down to business. This week in Congress. Nothing. Congress is on vacation. Again. But, according to Countable, their agenda when they return is coming to greater focus, as there was movement this past week on several issues that lawmakers want to tackle before the August recess arrives. Appropriations bills. The House will once again pursue a minibus approach to passing 12 appropriations bills that fund the government by bundling them into several packages of spending bills rather than passing them individually or one giant omnibus. A minibus containing the energy and water, legislative branch, and military construction and veterans affairs appropriations bills will be among the highlights of the House's first week back. Immigration reform, DACA. House Republicans are set to hold a two-hour all-conference meeting on June 7th to discuss the strategy on immigration. Moderate GOP makers have so far delayed providing the final signatures needed for their discharge petition to force the votes on immigration proposals. GOP leaders are expected to propose a June 22nd vote on a conservative immigration bill sponsored by Representative Bob Goodlatte, which is among the proposals included in the discharge effort. The Farm Bill. That piece of crap legislation. After it failed in the House because members of the Conservative Freedom Caucus wanted to leverage a vote on the Goodlatte immigration bill, GOP leaders are planning to bring their version of a Farm Bill back up to a vote on June 22nd. The NDAA. The House passed its version of legislation authorizing the defense of spending and policies for fiscal year 2019 last week on a bipartisan 351-66 vote, while the Senate's Armed Services Committee spent the week marking up its version of the bill. criminal justice reform. The House passed the First Step Act, a 360-59 vote last week, which reforms a variety of corrections programs with the goal of reducing recidivism by prisoners. The Senate has drafted a bipartisan sentencing reform bill, which could be merged with the House-passed bill. Banking deregulation. Huh, like we need more of that. Congress completed work on a bill reforming Dodd-Frank regulations to help smaller community banks last week, which has been signed into law by Donald. A second bipartisan deregulation package is expected later this year. Yay! Water resources development. Next week, the House is set to take up a bill reauthorizing water programs for 2 years before their expiration in September. And speaking of August recess, Turtle McConnell cautioned senators this week that, quote, I wouldn't buy any non-refundable plane tickets, unquote, during Congress's traditional month off. So, yay. Okay, so in the headlines, undoubtedly you heard that Hurricane Maria killed 4,600 people in Puerto Rico. That's 70 times the official toll, according to estimates in a Harvard study. This is America. There is no excuse for this. Not for this many deaths, and not for this kind of discrepancy. It's our government, and we deserve transparency. In Texas, Border Gestapo shot and killed an unarmed 20-year-old woman and said it was because she was with a group of meanies that was throwing rocks. Well, later changed their story. There weren't even rocks. How often is this happening?
Well, Rosie's a loser. She's always been a loser.
Roseanne was canceled and ABC was hailed as heroes. But they knew well and good who Roseanne was. Her racism, Islamophobia, and overall crazy was enough to make her a Pepe the Frog pinup girl years back. All the way back to when alt-right was still called Nazis. So Disney, why now? A group of Republicans have laid the groundwork for yet another attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act. No doubt, by gutting pre-existing condition protections, slashing funds to help lower-income Americans afford health insurance, and repealing Medicaid expansion just in time for midterm elections. Bring it on, I say. Way to make our case for us. Donald signed an executive order to further gut unions and to make it easier to fire federal workers, while the Supreme Court ruled that workers have no rights to sue a company unless the company says you can't do class action lawsuits, and if you do sue, you'll be judged by an arbiter bought and paid for by the company as opposed to a jury. As the New York Times editorial board put it, quote, the Supreme Court sticks it to workers again, unquote. Okay, remember, on Tuesday, or whenever your primary is, to vote. Because we deserve a better deal. And if you're wondering where to find policies designed to improve your life and your world, look to the Democratic Party. The proposals put forth as part of a better deal aim to make vast, forward-looking changes to bring better jobs, better wages, and a better future to all Americans. From increased education funding, to investment in public housing, from rebuilding the nation's infrastructure, to protecting pensions, from safeguarding the right to vote, to fixing our broken campaign finance system, to implementing policies designed to aid in the work of life balance for all families. A better deal is everything that government should be doing for its people. Thank you for sticking with me in this episode of K Voice of Resistance. You can stream or download the show at crabdiving.com under the K Voice tab or on your favorite podcasting app. Follow me on Twitter at Kelly the Voice and on Facebook, where you will find all the stories I've discussed in this show and more at K Voice of Resistance. If you want to laugh and rage at your liberal progressive news, I suggest checking out the Crab Diving Podcast with hosts Patrick Bunn and comedian Ryan Piper. 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. All right. Take care of yourselves out there. And as always, resist.